This episode is brought to you in part by the Table Podcast from the Hendricks Center at Dallas Theological Seminary. I'm Daryl Bach, one of the hosts, and I invite you to join us as we discuss issues of God and culture, which includes anything and everything. Listen on your podcast app or at dts.edu/thetable.
Welcome to the Cartographers Podcast, mapping the cultural landscape for 21st century Christian leaders. I'm Ashley Hales. And we are rebranding the Finding Holy podcast into the Cartographers. And as we seek to map this 21st century cultural landscape for Christian leaders, we're inviting guests into conversations around particular themes. They're generally aimed at categories of leadership, spiritual formation, cultural analysis, institutions, and imagination. And I'm going to be co-hosting with Bryce Hales. He's my husband, and he is the pastor of Trinity Church in San Luis Obispo, California. You've already heard him here on the podcast a few times already, so we want to give you a preview of what's coming later with the Cartographers. So, Bryce, I'm excited to chat a little bit today about where we're going.
Yeah, I'm excited about this new podcast. I'm excited to host it with you. The Cartographers is this idea that we've talked about. Cartographers are map makers. And one of the things that we are realizing kind of as we move into this post-pandemic world is that so many things about the world, the cultural landscape that we live in and move in, have changed. And as I talk to other pastors, as I'm trying to get my feet underneath me in a new ministry context, it just feels like the world has changed. And so what we're wanting to do in this podcast is have conversations with people who can help us map the landscape, the new cultural landscape that we're living in. So I thought it'd be fun today to talk a little bit about just what we're hoping to do in this podcast and a few just kind of ideas and assumptions that we're bringing.
I think it's really important just to quickly reiterate that. So part of what we're hoping to get with mapping the cultural landscape is that we are not the experts. We've not figured this out. And yet we're really excited to welcome you and our guests into conversation as we are reading and thinking about this changing cultural landscape. So yeah, tell us some of these assumptions, Bryce.
Yeah. So one of the first assumption that we're bringing is that we're living through a time of massive cultural change, that the COVID-19 pandemic revealed and accelerated that, but the beginnings of this kind of cultural change were already in place. And so I think the best way I can think of to illustrate this is to tell a story of a conversation I had with my brother just a couple of weeks ago. I was talking to my brother. My brother drives a tugboat, and he is working in the San Francisco Bay Area, and there's been all of this rain and flooding around Christmas, New Year's in the Bay Area, and a levee on the Sacramento River Delta broke, and so my brother got called in to help with some of that effort to fix that, and he was supposed to be driving a tugboat with, I don't know, supplies, gravel, something up to help repair this levee. And I'm texting with him and he says, well, I haven't been able to get into my hotel for 2 days. And I said, why not? He said, well, they've got those electronic keypads, but the power's out because of the weather, the rain, the flooding, everything. The power's out. And the owner of the hotel is in Atlanta for Christmas and can't get back to the Bay Area to open the doors of the hotel because of the flights being canceled. And I just think, okay, that's a picture of we kind of have this idea that coming out of COVID, there's these supply chain issues. But it's kind of the snake swallowing the mouse or something. It's just going to work its way through the system and it's going to take a little while. And then everything is going to get caught back up to normal eventually. And what I'm saying is I don't think that's going to happen. I think that we've been living kind of with no margins for so long that now it's catching back up with us.
And you know what's interesting about that story, too, is that it's multiple systems, right, that are interconnected and failing, right, in that situation.
Exactly. And that's the whole point of what I'm getting at. It's not just one thing that's changed or one thing. It's not just like, we're having trouble getting stuff on cargo ships from China into the port of Los Angeles. It's that times airlines, times weather, times everything. And it's all just kind of compounding on itself. So, I mean, some of the changes that we're witnessing, we're kind of coming to what has felt for our lifetime normal, but the kind of the end of the American century. We're seeing massive political upheaval and polarization. We're having to come to terms with our limits. This idea that, so many companies are founded and just operate at a loss for so long, because investors invest in them with the hope that when they do their IPO, they're going to make that money back, times a certain percentage. Well, eventually that's got to catch up, right? And so I think for many leaders, it's very confusing. And a lot of what we have assumed about the world that we're living in is now going to have to be questioned. So that's the assumption number one we're bringing to the podcast.
Right. Massive cultural change. And that it's not just that pandemic, right? That just kind of upsetted things. And now we're going back to normal. We're in a new kind of age culturally.
Yeah. I mean, when the pandemic began, we kind of thought if everybody just stays home for 3 weeks, this thing will blow over and we'll get back to normal. And what we're realizing now is we are never going back to 2019. And it's not because of the pandemic. This would have probably happened anyway, but the pandemic has accelerated and revealed some of these changes that were already, like currents that were already in the water.
What's the effect, do you think, on leaders particularly? You know, as we think about the cartographers, we are trying to help leaders map this changing cultural landscape so we have some sense of where we might go from here. So what are you seeing particularly as leaders in the church, Bryce, or, you know, as we're thinking about cultural leaders that you and I know, what does that look like for Christians?
Well, I think that a lot of it comes down to the things that we have assumed, the things that we have taken for granted, the things that we sort of assume will always be the way that they have been in the past. We can no longer make those assumptions. So, I mean, just a couple from my life examples are things like, so I was when the pandemic began, I was a church planter in Orange County, and the church that I was pastoring met in an elementary school. And so as soon as the pandemic shut things down, we couldn't meet in that space anymore. And the assumption that you're going to be able to find space like that for churches to meet, I'm just, in some places, it's probably never coming back.
You know, I even saw a recent article in The Atlantic talking about, I think there's a lot of things in kind of a secular mainstream media that says, oh, okay, well, religion is obviously on its way out. And it was this interesting article saying the way that we have tended to even think about religious vocations, like pastoral vocations, and that might actually be changing and shifting. But there is this sense, you know, The Atlantic is not obviously coming from a Christian perspective, but they were saying people are still interested in spirituality, whether that's through a chaplain or, you know, these other third spaces. And I found that interesting to realize that even our vocational identities are shifting as well.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, you know, working from home, that's having a huge effect on people not having to go back to the office, which means, like not being tied geographically. If I had to live in this area because of my job and I no longer do, it's sort of like somebody's just taken the chessboard and just like tossed everything up in the air, and I'm not sure that we know where everything's going to land yet.
Well, our second assumption that we're really bringing into these conversations is this idea of individualism versus institutional belonging. And the idea behind that is often, at least for American listeners, there's a sense in which individualism feels a little bit like our birthright, right? That, you know, we are told that life and liberty and that the pursuit of happiness is kind of our American birthright. And we tend to think of that primarily in individualistic terms. So you think of most movies and you have kind of this hero that needs to leave his small rural town and go to New York City to find himself, or, you know, a middle-aged woman who needs to leave her marriage so that she can, again, find herself. And we have this sense that we have to often go away or leave these kind of historic or communal identities to be able to be our authentic selves. And on the other hand, we have this idea of institutions. And, you know, you can think when you hear that word, you might go, ooh, like institution, that sounds really dull and boring, and like being institutionalized is obviously
sterile.
Yeah, sterile. You know, and so we get this sense of institutions being these dead things and individualism being this alive thing. But we want to really talk about the value of institutions, because they really provide the form. Yuval Levin talks about institutions as a form. It's kind of like a cake pan. Without a cake pan, you don't actually have a cake. You need something to hold communal life together. So we really want to talk about that, this disparity on the one hand between individualism and institutions, and how can we both promote the flourishing of individuals, but also say we want the work that we're doing in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our churches to actually outlive us, leave a legacy. And for that, you need institutions.
Yeah. I mean, the great example of this, I think, right now is just Congress. Like what's happening in Congress used to be this like robust body that was about compromise for the sake of governance. And now, I mean, we've just kind of come through this whole like Speaker of the House debacle. And so much of what's going on is individual members of Congress using their platform to kind of make a point, get on the news, make a headline, and the work of actual governance takes a backseat to that. And we see that playing out, you know, at the national level, but also at the individual level too.
Yeah. So it's this theme we're going to see running all throughout the Cartographers is how do we both promote individuals, but to do so in a way that actually values institutions. And some of that means rebuilding those institutions when they've failed or become power hungry for their own sake. What else, Bryce?
Well, and I think it's important to say that this is not like an either or. This is sort of like, you know, freedom, individual autonomy is a good thing. And if you're living in like North Korea, you probably need more individual autonomy. But the pendulum has swung so far to that extreme that, you know, you hear things like even things like, you know, people saying, well, I'm going to leave my marriage because I just, God wants me to be happy and I'm not happy with this person. And so this kind of individual autonomy has become so highly prized in American culture that it's now an excuse, to kind of bless practices and ideas that are clearly counter to what, you know, God's vision for our flourishing is. So the third thing we want to talk about today, kind of a strand that's going to be running through our podcast, is the sense that Christians have confused and intermingled culture with theology. And, you know, I think what we're trying to get at here is, and this is the sort of thing that is like gonna either ruffle feathers or be like, people are gonna be like, yes, depending on probably your age. And I think some of this is for people who grew up in kind of the post-World War II era, it became very easy to equate American culture or sort of overlay American culture with biblical Christianity. And for a generation or two, there was this sense that, you know, there's a American prosperity was kind of growing against the backdrop of like the threat of nuclear war and the spread of communism. And so there was this sense of like, America is fighting the good fight against the evil empire. And kind of overlay gospel tones with that. That's all totally changing now, and it has to. And to whatever extent that was actually accurate, we could debate that. But the bottom line is we have intermingled culture and theology. And as we are kind of now in this time where we're going through massive cultural change. We've got to disentangle those two.
You know, and I think there's a lot of talk on social media and amongst younger Christians or folks who kind of grew up with an evangelical background of, you know, using the word deconstruction. And I think what we're talking about here is really helpful to talk about. These things need to be untangled. And hopefully that provides hope for kind of that subset of folks.
Right. Because often when we hear about people deconstructing, you know, it's, well, I'm a pastor. So I'm sort of like vocationally invested in this. And I'm like, I agree with all of your critique, you know, because it feels like what you're deconstructing is not actually biblical Christianity as much as it is the way that it has kind of had a synergistic relationship with American culture.
Yeah. So the intermingling of culture and theology also then helps us to focus on discipleship. So, I mean, that gives us an actual opportunity, right?
Yeah, for sure. And so, yeah, I think that's the solution here, is that we have to come back to what Jesus actually said before he ascended, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And the church, it feels like for the last generation or two, has just put discipleship as sort of like an optional extra, like an extra credit activity. And now I think we have to go back and say, actually, that's what this is all about, is building disciples, and disciples who can hear the voice of God in scripture and prayer and the silence, who have the resilience to live in a changing world where we can't take for granted the norms that we experienced in the past.
And you and I are working together on a Bible study right now that'll be out in a few years. But, you know, we are looking a lot at this metaphor of fruitfulness, right? And this idea of resilience that we see again and again through scripture, that Jesus talks about his disciples as trees, right? That good trees bear good fruit. And so as we talk about this intermingling of culture with theology, and we begin to disentangle them, it really does provide us an opportunity to think about, okay, what do we want in our soil? How far down, what, you know, do our roots grow into, so that we are actually not just ourselves, but our communities, we're building good trees full of, you know, good fruit in our discipleship processes. So we'll be talking a lot about that as well.
Yep. Well, I'm excited to get started. We are going to be getting our feet wet with a few episodes coming soon. And as we get into a rhythm, we're going to be releasing episodes every other Tuesday. We've got some exciting guests coming up. We're going to do a couple of series over the next course of the year. And we're really excited to bring that to you.
So please subscribe to The Cartographers. Share these episodes with friends. They will really help you chart a way through this changing cultural landscape for 21st century Christian leaders. Thanks for being with us.